KJAN, Radio Atlantic.
At 8 o'clock, we have a mostly cloudy sky. It's 16 degrees. We look forward to be partly cloudy today with a high around 29. Good morning. I'm Rick Hansen with KJAN News, brought to you by Robinson True Value Hardware, serving Southwest Iowa with the best hardware for over 75 years. In local news, members of the Atlantic City Council Wednesday evening received the preliminary fiscal year 2018 city budget from City Administrator John Lund. Lund said the proposed budget amounts to slightly more than $12.493 million, which is a decrease over the fiscal year 2017 budget of 14.78%, or more than $1.8 million. He said the budget is lower this year because the city won't be borrowing so much money for capital projects, such as finishing the street improvements.
That $12 million is basically every dime the city is spending, and in past years we've been borrowing millions of dollars to pay for capital projects, and this year we're only going to borrow $360,000. So we're just not borrowing a lot of money this year.
He says the budget calls for a property tax increase of 1.48% due to actions by the Iowa legislature.
They made their intentions very apparent when I spoke with both the state budget chair and our own representative. They actually were intending to defund this fiscal year, which would have looked very bad on our balance sheets, because we would have shown, it would have looked to Standard & Poor's if they review our stuff next year, that the city does not know how to budget and we are using our reserves to carry us forward. It would have looked very bad. Governor Branstad came to our rescue and said that that was not going to be up for negotiation for this fiscal year, thankfully. But he did not make any comment on what he was going to do for 2018.
Lund says cities in Iowa can't rely on the governor to protect them from future losses in tax revenue when the legislature enacts tax reform that benefits commercial property owners and results in a loss of property tax backfill and funds from the state.
It would be better to make a tax adjustment for this coming fiscal year, because you're not going to have... it'll be a non-assessment year. You won't get double hit. If we waited longer, it would probably coincide with the reassessment end. If your home values are going up, you're going to get hit by that, and then those numbers are going to be much higher if we wait longer. It's better to just, to do it now and get it over with. And then the city's going to be in a sustainable path where we're not dependent on the state anymore.
The city will see notable losses in collections from tax revenue amounting to a combined $126,718 to the general employee benefit and debt service funds. On the bright side, the city's local option sales tax, or LOST fund, posted a 2.33% growth in FY 2017 over 2016, and Lund predicts an even more robust growth in fiscal year 2018, and the city expects to resume minimal debt for the next fiscal year. The council Wednesday night also heard a presentation from SWPCO's John McCurdy with regard to a comprehensive city plan, which is required by the state and was last adopted in 2002. The process to undertake and devise a new plan will take about 9 months at a cost to the city of $19,500, the funds for which will come from the Local Option Sales Tax Progress Fund for fiscal year 2018. They also acted on approving an updated retainer agreement with the Otto Lawrence and Wiederstein law firm, which mentions Mark Bosworth as the primary attorney, but the position of city attorney is still managed by the firm. Compensation will increase from $20,000 to $24,000. Voters of Montgomery County will head to the polls next Tuesday to cast their ballots in a special Red Oak School District election. On the ballot is Public Measure A, a renewal of a 10-year physical plant and equipment levy, or PEPL, and a PEPL income surtax. If approved, the 10-year levy would authorize a tax of not more than $1.34 per $1,000 of taxable property valuation within the Red Oak School District beginning June 30, 2021, and a tax on the personal income starting December 31st for each calendar year and commencing with the 2020 calendar year. You can read all the details on the proposition under the same story on the news page at KJAN.com. Now, tomorrow is at 5 p.m. is the last date and time to request an absentee ballot from the Montgomery County Auditor's Office. Voters may vote absentee in person on Election Day, Tuesday, February 7th, at the auditor's office from 8 a.m. until 11 a.m. The polls will open that day at noon and close at 8 p.m. The polling site is the Montgomery County Gold Fair Building for those in the Red Oak residents living in the city of Red Oak, Wards 1, 2, and 3, Coburg City, Garfield, Red Oak and Grants, also the Franklin, Lincoln, Sherman, and Pilot Grove townships in Montgomery County, Fremont County Township in Page County, or rather Fremont Township that is in Page County, and the Grove Township in Pottawatomie County. If you have any questions about the Red Oak School District special election, call the Montgomery County Auditor's Office during their business hours, Monday through Friday from 8 a.m. to 4:30 p.m. at 712-623-5127. Well, police in Creston report the arrest Wednesday afternoon of 39-year-old John Burgoyne of Creston. Burgoyne was taken into custody on a Union County warrant for theft in the fourth degree. He was later released on $1,000 bond. And CHS Incorporated in Creston reported Wednesday morning that someone had thrown a rock through the window of the weigh station located in the vicinity of Division and Union Streets. The incident happened sometime between 8 a.m. on January 25th and 8:30 a.m. on February 1st. The damage was estimated at $250. Police in Creston also report 38-year-old Brady Reichert of Creston was arrested Tuesday morning at the Union County Law Enforcement Center. Reichert was charged with OWI first offense and later released on $1,000 bond. Police in Red Oak are investigating incidents of theft from two vehicles and vehicle vandalism. Authorities were called to the Red Coach Inn parking lot at around 8:15 a.m. Wednesday. On the scene, officers met with a man from Williamsburg who reported that sometime after 7:30 p.m. Tuesday, someone broke the passenger side window out of his 2005 Chevy Tahoe and stole a Dell laptop computer that belonged to the University of Iowa. The victim said there was nothing of importance in the laptop or hard drive that would be of any use to anyone. While speaking with that person, a man from Wellsburg approached officers and advised that a blue tie-down strap on his 2016 Ford pickup had been cut, and a Stanley roll-away toolbox containing a power strip, 50 and 25-foot extension cords, brochures, pens, and paper were stolen. The pickup was in the stall adjacent to the Tahoe. The loss from the break-in, vandalism, and thefts amounted to $4,400. Both incidents remain under investigation. The Union County Sheriff's Office says an Afton man reported early Tuesday morning that someone had stolen items from his property valued at $21,450. The theft happened sometime between 5 and 6 a.m. Tuesday. Taken from the property in the 2700 block of Rose Drive in Afton was a 2003 camo-colored Yamaha Grizzly, a 2004 black Harley-Davidson, a Stevens 12-gauge shotgun, and a Ruger 10/22. Elsewhere in Western Iowa news, operators of a Northwest Iowa nursing home that authorities ordered closed have agreed to pay $100,000 to settle allegations that they provided worthless care. Federal prosecutors said in a news release Wednesday that the Abbey of Lamar's Incorporated violated the Federal False Claims Act by submitting Medicaid claims when the care provided residents was grossly substandard. The facility's Iowa license has been revoked. Prosecutors say the facility's staff let skin conditions go untreated, used unnecessary physical restraints and medications, and provided inadequate nourishment and bathing and toileting care. The allegations relate to the care provided for 16 residents between January of 2009 and February of 2015. Well, the only independent in the state legislature is asking Iowa's Attorney General to issue a written opinion on the proper transfer of power when Republican Governor Terry Branstad resigns to become the ambassador to China. Senator David Johnson of Ocheden.
Although a number of legal experts believe it's a settled issue, there are others that don't.
Johnson is a former Republican who switched his voter registration to no party this summer when Donald Trump became the GOP's presidential nominee. In December, Lieutenant Governor Kim Reynolds said the Constitution is clear and that she will become governor when Branstad resigns. Johnson says there is ambiguity in the way the Constitution is written, and some analysts argue that Reynolds may perform the duties of governor but will not get the title of governor.
Being an independent, I believe I don't have any partisan dog in this game. I'm not a Republican, I'm not a Democrat. I can't be accused of having any partisan leanings on this.
Johnson has sent a formal request asking Attorney General Tom Miller to issue an opinion on the matter by February 15th.
We need to have this issue more clearly defined, I believe, before the governor goes to China.
Johnson's asking the Attorney General to weigh in on whether Reynolds has the authority to appoint a lieutenant governor and who would have the authority to swear her in as governor once Branstad leaves. He suggests senators could be forced to vote on transfer of power issues based on what the AG may determine. A spokesman for Attorney General Tom Miller said weeks ago that Miller agrees with the Branstad administration that Reynolds will become governor when Branstad leaves and that she'll have the authority to appoint a lieutenant governor. A spokesman for Governor Branstad accuses Johnson of political grandstanding. Branstad Press Secretary Ben Hamas said 2 months ago the Attorney General and Secretary of State were definitive that Reynolds will become governor when Branstad resigns. The news was brought to you by Robinson True Value Hardware, serving Southwest Iowa with the best hardware for over 75 years. I'm Rick Hansen reporting.